everyone. This is Johnny Cruz, and you are tuned in to Ugly Brown Boy. You can find me on all podcast platforms, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching.
The beginning was you and I for life.
You are a piece of shit is something that I heard on a regular basis when I was growing up. And it is something that has been ingrained into my psyche, and it is something that I have been battling with for decades. What child doesn't want to feel safe? What child doesn't want to be encouraged? What child doesn't want to feel they are valued? For me, I was a constant failure. And I can blame it on the culture. That is typical. I mean, it's easy to blame it on the culture, but it's typical. I think it's something that is very prevalent in Asian cultures and probably Latin cultures as well. And being Filipino, we have the best of both worlds. And so living up to expectations of being a scholar and being straight and finding a wife and having kids and being a doctor or lawyer were things that I had to contend with. Not uncommon. I'm not saying that I was the only one that has ever had to deal with that. But I was a piece of shit. And it is that kind of programming that made me who I am today. And you can say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But honestly, what kind of consolation is that? Like, it's nice to be stronger. It's nice to be resilient. But I feel like it would be nice to have been encouraged and loved in a way that wasn't conditional, to be loved because I am your child and not despised because I don't fit the mold. And a lot of times when I speak about other people, I have to clarify, because when I speak about other people, I don't want it to sound like I'm blaming anybody. I know that parents aren't given a guidebook and they don't know how to necessarily handle difficult children. Like, you know, you can read books on that stuff, but every person is different. So still the outcome is going to be different. And I am very self-aware. I know when I am being an asshole myself. And I know that growing up, I was very rebellious for different reasons. It could have been the ADHD. It could have been my inability to learn in the traditional sense. But I'm where I am now. I get it. I'm stronger. Okay, I get it. But I wonder what it would have been like to be loved for who I am. I wonder what it would have been like to be accepted and to be told that no matter what you are, we love you. I dream of that kind of support. And of course I have it now. I mean, people learn, right? People learn and people change. But it's not part of my story when I was growing up that I had the kind of support that I have now. And I understand it's not something that is typically accepted to go against the grain and to do things differently from what's expected of you. But I wish I had that kind of childhood, you know, where I was loved and I was taught that home was my safe place. And I don't dwell on it very much, but times like this, when I'm talking about it now and regurgitating all of it, it hurts my heart. And I wonder, you know, what would it have been like? What kind of person, besides a strong person, what kind of person would I have been? We all have baggage, and we all have obstacles that we have to get over. But what if certain obstacles weren't there? What if there was just love? What if the kids at school liked you for who you were? What if they didn't make fun of you for your slanted eyes and your flat nose? What if they didn't make fun of you for your non-Caucasian looks? What if you grew up believing that you were just as beautiful as the person next to you with the sharp nose and the blonde hair? I want to know what that's like. If my soul decides to come back to this earth, although the way things are going, I am staying in the galaxies amidst the stars. But if I do ever come back, I want to live a life where I am accepted for who I am, where I'm not made fun of for the color of my skin, where I am not made fun of when, as a child, I tried to speak Tagalog. And my cousins made fun of me for the way I sounded. I want to know what it's like to be encouraged. Like, oh yeah, no, don't say it like this. Like, if you say it like this, then you sound like an American. Let's try to get you to pronounce things. You hear it at home, so let's see if you are actually able to form the words and the sounds and the syllables with your mouth so that you can sound like a native speaker. I do now because of me and because of two older Filipina women in the valley in California, the San Fernando Valley, where I worked after high school. I worked in an office building, and the two older Filipinas befriended me, and they wanted to learn how to speak English properly. And with my history of my cousins and my relatives making fun of the way I sounded when I tried to speak Tagalog, which made me not want to speak Tagalog at all, these women, when they asked me if I could teach them to speak English properly, I agreed. But there was only one condition. Don't laugh. We don't laugh at each other. We don't make fun of each other. And yeah, you know, you could say, oh, they were just kidding. They didn't mean anything by it. But fuck that. Like, stop making fun of people, like, unnecessarily when they are trying something new, or when they're just trying. Why discourage that? But, you know, that's how people are when they don't know any better. They were kids. But with these two women, God bless them. I helped them with their English. They helped me to form my words in Tagalog properly. They helped me with my grammar and my syntax and everything. And with that, I ran with it. I went and watched movies in Tagalog, and all of that led to me being fluent now. So, honestly, God bless those two. But I think what I want to impart in this moment is the ability to find understanding, the ability to understand. Because there is nothing better than being seen and heard and understood. And it helps you grow, and it helps you feel like you belong, that there's empathy in the room, and there is nothing like knowing people are on your side. And this was a struggle growing up, not only being brown and dark-eyed with different shaped eyes and a different shaped nose, but also being gay and living with depression and anxiety and not being able to learn things the same way as other people, therefore not being able to succeed in the same way, in that traditional way of succeeding. And there wasn't a lot of understanding from what I remember. I did things differently. I was all of those things, and I was told to be different by family, by the church, by people in school making fun of me, making me want to not want to be who I actually am. And it was a very, very long journey to get to where I am now. And I still don't completely love myself, but it's most certainly better than it was before. But being different and having characteristics and traits that are not common, I found it difficult to find understanding from people. One of those situations was when I was with a former boyfriend for a couple of years. I got into a fight with my parents, and I was asked to leave the house and not come back, and I did. Indignantly, I left. And I found my own way. And years later, I tried to reconcile first with my mom, and she came to visit me where I worked, and I wanted to buy her lunch. So she came in, I was happy to see her, and I told her how my boyfriend and I wanted to go to the Philippines together. And after 2 years of being together, she suggested that when we go, that we can both find wives there. And so that naturally set me off. And in that situation and in similar situations from then on, there was no understanding. Things are different now, and Justin is loved. But every once in a while, I hear about discussions about how I'm wrong in pursuing the life that I live and loving who I love. And as usual, scriptures, Bible scriptures are quoted, and I hear similar things. Love the sinner, but hate the sin, which is just a shitty way of making yourself feel better, when in essence, you're just saying, I hate everything about you. But it's very harsh to think that, oh no, I don't hate everything about you. I just hate your sin. And what the fuck does that mean? You hate my sin? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you love me or do you not love me? So that's one thing. And then the other thing that I hear so often is, I don't condone your behavior. My behavior? Condone? My behavior of loving somebody else. You don't condone that. Look up condone in the dictionary. Like, I don't need your approval. I don't ask for your approval. And my behavior is none of your concern. But it is the focus of the church. The church just wants... Come up, come up, come on up, come up. Reed, come here. Okay. We have thunderstorms, and this is Reed. Say, oh, Reedy, I'm not doing anything to you. Stop. Stop. See, this is what he does. This is what he does. He squeals for no reason. I'm not doing anything. I just want to introduce you, Reedy. Say hi to everybody. So we have thunderstorms, and he's scared of them. See? Not doing anything. Okay, I'm leaving that on camera because this is the crazy shit that this dog does. But anyway, that's what the church does. There is so much judgment solely towards the LGBTQ community, and no one else is chastised or judged or condemned like my community. So that is another thing that I have to contend with, is not being understood and just being condemned for living a beautiful and loving life that I've created with Justin and Reed. So, you know, we talk about understanding. As well, there was another situation where I was really going through it, and it's not a secret that I have been living with major depressive disorder and anxiety and ADHD all my life. But when I went through a really bad breakup, I was talking to my ex and I was distraught and I was a mess, like straight up, I was just a mess. And I was threatening to kill myself. And so he called my best friend at the time. And she did not contact me. I found out later that she called other friends and told them what was happening. So they called me and they ended up staying with me, making sure that I was okay, making sure that I got through the night. My friend Sean stayed with me for several nights. And after that period, my best friend at the time, who sounded the alarm, called me and asked if I wanted to meet her for lunch. And this was after she ghosted me for about 2 or 3 months. I texted her, she didn't respond, and then finally she invited me to lunch and we met, and she said, I just want to get this off my chest. When you were suicidal, it really upset me, and I didn't like it, and it made me really, really uncomfortable. To which I responded, I'm not exactly sure how to respond to this. In my mind, I wanted to smack her across the face, but I said, do you want to discuss any of what I was going through, or are we just here to hash out how I made you feel? So the discussion after that is a bit of a blur, but we continued our friendship. And I decided, well, she's my best friend. Let me just forget about it and not end this relationship. And we went years still hanging out, having a great time, until I one day said the wrong thing and she got really upset, and I realized what I had done and I apologized. I was like, I'm really, really sorry. I'm so sorry. And she couldn't forgive me. And I let things cool off and I reached out to her a few times. She didn't respond. And she finally reached out to me again. And she acted as though nothing was wrong. And I was like, is everything okay now? Like, are you still angry with me? And she was like, angry about what? And I was like, okay. The story got even more twisted about how I offended her and how I reacted. I ended up saying, I think our friendship has run its course. And it was worse than that, but that's the gist of it. I think this friendship has run its course. And in the process of the whole back and forth and the bickering and bitching, I mentioned the day that she called me to meet with me so that we could talk about how I made her feel when I was suicidal. And she completely put it out of her head and acted as though nothing ever happened. So much for her self-awareness. All this to say that in our little communities that we create, in our families, we have to get to a point where the judgment is diminished and the love is magnified. And it starts with you. It starts with you and your ability to self-analyze and regulate, or your ability to take accountability for your behavior. And not put the blame on other people. Because the thing is, it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we all do things that may upset somebody else. We're all human. But we have to be accountable to one another. And we have to magnify the love. Do I grieve these friendships still? Do I grieve the little boy that could have been me? The little boy that could have been sitting here? Yeah, I do. But I don't know. It made me stronger, but it also gave me a voice. All the shit that I went through gave me a perspective. And what I want to do now is share this perspective with all of you. And hopefully make things better. So do what you have to do. Meditate. Be a little bit more introspective, and be open to being wrong. Be open to needing to change, and be open to needing to learn different things so that it can bring about the good in your relationships and the good in these situations. Just some food for thought. I really appreciate you guys tuning in, and I'll see you next Tuesday.